This is NBC Nightly News, Tuesday, September 3rd. Reported by John Chancellor with David Brinkley's Journal.
Good evening. John Dean went to jail today. The former White House counsel, who was former President Nixon's chief accuser in the Watergate cover-up, surrendered to the authorities in Washington. Dean pleaded guilty to conspiring to obstruct justice in the cover-up. And today he began serving his sentence of 1 to 4 years. Ford Rowan reports.
Dean's freedom ended shortly before 3 o'clock at the federal courthouse. It was Dean who first exposed President Nixon's involvement in the case, and Dean's grand jury testimony was vital in obtaining the indictments of other Nixon associates who will stand trial. He will be held in custody near Washington for the next few months so he can testify for the prosecution during the Watergate cover-up trial. Then he will be moved to a minimum security prison in California for the duration of his 1 to 4 year sentence. Dean joins 14 others who have gone to jail because of the Watergate scandals. 6 other defendants from the Nixon administration and the re-election campaign face the possibility of jail if they are convicted in the Watergate cover-up trial. These jail terms present a problem for those who want leniency for former President Nixon. One lawyer who is defending a former Nixon aide said, "It is difficult to advocate leniency for the man who is in charge when so many of his subordinates are in jail." Ford Rowan, NBC News, Washington.
As Ford Rowan said, Dean has become the 16th former official or operative from the Nixon administration or the committee to re-elect to go to jail. Other defendants, some of them very formerly very high-ranking, face trial in the Watergate cover-up prosecution. One of those defendants is John Mitchell. Today, he asked that the jurors in that trial not be sequestered. His lawyers said there has been so much pretrial publicity that a fair trial will be impossible whether or not the jury is sequestered. And in another argument, they said that sequestering jurors for a long trial would deprive Mitchell of a totally representative jury. Also on the program tonight, we'll hear the chairman of General Motors talking about the possibility of another rise in prices. The coal companies and the coal miners began contract talks today, which will have an important effect on the economy. We'll cover that story. And from Denver, we'll have a report on how that city's school busing plan is working. Those stories and others after this.
Nine Lives presents Morris.
Look, Morris, a darling kitty.
If that's a cat, I'm a bald eagle. That's no cat. Cats look dignified.
Want some din-din, dear?
Cats are also finicky.
Some Nine Lives?
Nine Lives.
Super supper? How about tuna?
Rich red Nine Lives tuna.
Nine Lives, nutritious foods cats really like, even Morris.
Nine Lives could make a stuffed cat hungry.
Great Yankee invention, these Kodak mailers. You just put your Kodak film inside, stick on a stamp, and give them to the mailman. Yeah, there he is now. The film goes to Kodak. Kodak turns it into pictures and mails them back. Sent these over last trip. Pretty. Pick up some Kodak mailers. Let's face it, sometimes it's a little hard to get out of the house.
The state of the American economy came under closer scrutiny today, both in and out of government. In Michigan, Richard Gerstenberg, chairman of General Motors, called a press conference at which he was asked about the possibility of a recession or a depression. Gerstenberg talked also about the prospects for price rises for the cars and trucks made by GM. The company recently raised prices by an average of $450. Gerstenberg thought that if Congress lets the auto companies take out the new seatbelt systems required for cars, that might save $40, but he also talked about other cost increases.
There are many pressures on the business with respect to further cost increase. Now, how long we'll be able to hold our present prices remains a question. If there are further cost increases, we would have to look at those as well as any cost decrease that might arise because of this in setting any future price.
Do you think we are in or are headed for a recession?
Absolutely not. If you look at the economy today, I think the most serious problem we have is a problem of shortages. We have many industries running at capacity. There are two exceptions, housing and automobiles. We see our business on its way back, and we're hopeful that the housing thing would have bottomed out and may start back. But I do not see a depression, absolutely not.
Senator Mike Mansfield, the majority leader in the Senate, said today he is opposed to giving Pan American World Airways the $10 million a month subsidy at once from the government. The airline says it needs the money because it's in grave financial trouble. On the stock market, prices plunged again today after a little rally last week. The Dow Jones Industrials lost more than 15 points. At the White House today, President Ford met twice with his economic advisors. Budget Director Roy Ash and Treasury Secretary Simon were at these meetings. So was Arthur Burns, the head of the Federal Reserve Board. Burns carried a folder labeled Public Service Employment Program, indicating that that was one of the alternatives the president will consider in the near future. The president will hold his economic summit for 2 days later this month. But this Thursday, a group of economists, both conservative and liberal, will be at the White House, and the president intends to participate actively in their deliberations. Budget Director Ash said today that it may take 2 years before the rate of inflation slows down to acceptable levels. Ash warned also that there is no single answer to the worrisome problem of constantly rising prices. With those prices going up the way they are and the country suffering from one of the worst inflation rates in its history, we thought it might be useful for you if we were to make regular checks on how people of different income levels are coping with inflation. We've chosen different kinds of people with different problems, and in the following months, you'll be getting to know how they're faring. We're going to begin our Inflation Watch series with someone at the bottom of the ladder, Mrs. Rosa Snowden, a welfare mother in Cleveland with three children and no husband. Jack Paxton reports.
Rosa Snowden went on welfare in April after her husband walked out. She doesn't know where he is now. Mrs. Snowden is different from many mothers on welfare. One, she plans to get off welfare. Two, she's determined to keep her children on a well-balanced, high-protein diet, even though it means small portions, rather than give them cheaper foods that would fill them up but not be as healthy. Rising prices make it harder every month to keep good food on the table. It was never easy with four people on a welfare check of $283, even though rent is only $45 a month. Food stamps give Mrs. Snowden an extra $90 worth of food, but the money still doesn't last through the month.
I try to keep the proteins in, and they like fruits a lot, and I try to buy fruits that they'll enjoy, like watermelon and apples and oranges.
But these foods are expensive.
They are expensive, but I think that they need the proteins, and they should have it. And so I try to get it for them, and I would give it to them, even though the price has gone up. And where I used to, before they started going up so high, I used to give them more than what I give them now. But to make sure they still get it, I just cut down and give them less, smaller portions of it. And I suppose it's still going up, but I'm still going to try to give them the foods that they need to keep them healthy.
Do you think your kids are being hurt a little bit by these rising prices?
Well, I suppose they don't notice it, but I do, and I think it is hurting them.
Are you able to eat well all the way through the month?
I run out of money by the time I get through paying the bills and whatnot, and that's before the last, but the food stamps start running out about the last week in each month.
And what do you do then?
I start trying to stretch it as far as I can.
Mrs. Snowden plans to get a job as a nurse's aide in about a year when the boys will be in school and her daughter will be old enough to stay with a babysitter. Meanwhile, the family lives at about subsistence level on a welfare check that buys a little less food every month. Jack Paxton, NBC News, Cleveland.
The Associated Press has made a survey on the correlation between inflation and thievery. It discovered that people are making off with things they wouldn't have looked at twice not long ago, such as waste grease from restaurants in Georgia, plants left out on front porches, and the copper wire from exposed telephone lines.
That dollar is shrinking.
And denture wearers feel the pinch like everybody else. But here's good news. Orifix, the dependable denture adhesive that holds and keeps holding, now comes in a new economical supersize. You can save money over other leading denture adhesive creams from 19 to 27%. Check prices. You should even save if other brands offer coupons or price specials. Orifix Supersize won't stop inflation, but it could help. Buy new Supersize Orifix, the seal of confidence, and save.
On those mornings when you feel a twinge of occasional minor arthritis pain and its stiffness, take Anacin. While all three leading pain relievers reach an effective level in your bloodstream in minutes, in the final analysis, Anacin hits the highest level. And taken as directed, Anacin maintains an effective level for hours against minor arthritis pain and its stiffness. So don't put up with minor arthritis pain. Take Anacin. Anacin will relieve the pain for more freedom of movement.
Who backs you best? Say something except for tires just wears out on your new car during the first 12 months or 12,000 miles under normal use and service. Everyone covers the engine and drivetrain. What about plugs and points, shock absorbers, hoses and belts, light bulbs? Who aligns your wheels, tightens nuts and bolts, and has a plan for a free loan a car if guaranteed repairs take overnight? AMC Buyer Protection Plan. We back them better because we build them better.
The United Mine Workers Union and the owners of the country's soft coal mines began negotiations today for a new contract. The current contract ends on November 12th, and the outcome of the talks, which began today, is apt to be crucial on two counts, in terms of meeting the country's energy needs and in terms of controlling inflation. Robert Goralski has the story.
The starting date of negotiations was delayed in part because of a squabble over factual data. Union officials complained the companies were holding back on statistics, including soaring profits to the operators. The miners feel they should share in the rewards. The union is calling for substantially higher pay for its 130,000 working members. There'd be automatic pay hikes to match cost of living increases. The union wants paid sick leave for the miners, which they do not now have. The companies would have to increase their contributions to the pension fund. And the union wants stricter enforcement of federal safety laws.
It's taken the people in this country, and particularly government officials, a long time to realize that coal was important, and we did have a real energy problem. And certainly we're aware of it, and coal miners have always responded to the demands of this nation in time of peace and war both, and we will respond again. But we're not going to respond at any price. There are certain problems in mining that must be resolved, and we think it's about time we get on with resolution of those problems.
During the term of the 1971 agreement, scheduled to terminate on November 12, the coal industry witnessed a dramatic increase in wages and a sharp and unprecedented drop in productivity. This drop in productivity must be reversed if the coal industry is to be expected to provide increased wages and improved benefits and the like. We do have a grave responsibility here, the coal miners, and to the industry. And we also have a responsibility to the public to cooperate in the president's fight against inflation.
Federal officials are already working on the assumption that there will be a strike. They consider one inevitable. It is also recognized that it will be extremely difficult to cope with the serious energy shortages, which are thus likely this winter. Robert Goralski, NBC News, Washington.
If there is a UMW strike, it won't have much effect on strip mining, that is, mining close to the surface. 8 out of 10 strip miners are not members of the United Mine Workers. Strip mining accounts for half of the country's coal, but its development is being held up by the controversy over how much strip mining damages the environment. A bill to regulate strip mining is now in a congressional conference committee. Frank Burkholzer reports on one effort to reclaim strip mined land.
Surface or strip mining violates nature. Some of the wounds are obvious and some are not. Many scientists say the hurt is never completely healed. Nowadays, you start by stripping away the tender topsoil, which you save. A monster called a dragline then gobbles up the rest of the earth, called the overburden, and piles it up in huge mounds, appropriately called spoils, until the coal is uncovered. Other monsters dig out the coal and carry it away. This is a subtle violence. Scientists know these seams of coal are very important conveyors of underground water, and they don't know what will happen to that underground water when the coal is gone, even though the surface may be restored.
Now, what we're doing here, we have a large hole where we've removed the coal. We can no longer mine here because the overburden is much too deep. So we're taking the overburden that's been removed from the coal, we're filling that hole and stacking it up against the high wall. Now, over here, you'll notice that the overburden has been shaped by caterpillars so that it blends in with the natural hillside. The next step will be to replace the topsoil. It will be seeded with a variety of grasses, and ponderosa pines will be replanted on that slope to make it as natural as possible. The water will be saved in a low spot over here. It's capable of supporting trout, and we'll have a fishing hole.
There's a great temptation to cover rebuilt slopes like this with fertilizer, and it'll look gorgeous for a year or two. But Montana's tough reclamation laws say no. Whatever's planted has to make it on its own.
I don't use any fertilizer so that I don't produce an artificial situation. If we have extra water available, we use it. This particular field has not had extra water applied nor fertilizer applied.
Restoring the topsoil and spreading grass seed that will survive in this climate, as Peabody Coal Company is doing here, are all part of Montana's rigid specifications. But only after a number of years, including dry years, will anyone know whether the formula works. Peabody Coal says, at least now, for the first time, they can afford the effort.
It is a fact that we're doing better reclamation today and every year than we did in previous years. For economic reasons. Today we can do it and charge the cost of the process into our product and get paid for it. For many years we could not.
So with high demand and high prices, we can afford to make it all look as good as ever. The question is whether in the long run, nature will forgive the violence and make it live. Frank Burkholzer, NBC News in southern Montana.
Hi, we just moved into an apartment.
We're married.
We want to paint our living room.
Use Benjamin Moore's Regal Wall Satin. Great latex paint.
Honey, I decided to get Regal Wall Satin. It's great latex paint.
Is it hard to put on?
Are you kidding?
Is it washable?
Of course.
A Benjamin Moore dealer makes sure you get the right paint. And whatever help you need to go with it.
I didn't know you knew so much about paint.
See your Benjamin Moore dealer. He offers you more.
Recognize buckwheat? This hardy grain helped feed a growing nation. Now it's scarce. This is buckwheat, stone ground. And you can still get it right here in buckwheat cereal. Flakes with a snap of maple flavor. High nutrition, of course. But the taste goes way back. Think of old-time buckwheat cakes and maple syrup. That's what prompted buckwheat's flavor. One of the true old-fashioned flavors left to enjoy.
There were primary elections in three states today for state and national office. In Georgia, Lester Maddox was in a runoff with state legislator George Busby for the Democratic nomination for governor. In Nevada, former governor Paul Laxalt faced two challengers for the Republican nomination for the Senate. And in North Dakota, Senator Milton Young was unopposed in the Republican primary for re-election. Last July, the Supreme Court, in a 5-4 vote, ruled against cross-district busing to end school segregation. That didn't mean an end to school busing to achieve racial balance. A number of major cities, north and south, have it. Denver is one of them, and Bob Jamieson has a report from that city.
Denver's school buses move nearly a third of the district's students to their classrooms each day. 25,000 children, black, white, and Latino, are being bused to balance racial enrollments in each of Denver's 120 schools. There are also new boundaries for virtually every school. That means many more students than those bused will be attending classes away from their neighborhoods. So far, the busing itself is going smoothly, but there is disagreement over the impact it will have on the children's education. Dr. Maurice Mitchell has court-appointed monitors who are overseeing the plan.
This may be the best school year we've ever had.
When you get school administration, principals, and teachers, and even a school superintendent, and the whole staff of the school board all worked up because they want to make something successful, you may have a far better year than you've ever had before.
Will the busing plan work?
No.
It's gone up.
Nolan Winsett leads a citizens group still fighting the plan in court.
To show you the difference. The people want their kids to go to school in neighborhood schools and not clear across town. We are no different than the people in Detroit, Pontiac, or Washington, D.C.
Some families have already begun to leave the district. That and a movement to private schools are expected to cause Denver's enrollment to drop 4,000 to 7,000. Three of Mr. and Mrs. Ken White's five children are affected by the plan. One is being bussed away from the neighborhood. Two others have been transferred to new schools.
Curious.
The Whites are moving to another county.
If it comes to my children, I would move to an igloo in Alaska, if this need be, for those children to get the best in life that they can have.
Opponents of the plan say the White family will be followed to the suburbs by hundreds of other families. And they argue that, as in other American cities where busing is an issue, Denver's neighborhoods will become even more segregated. But unlike other American cities, in Denver there have been no violent demonstrations or attempts by parents to keep the buses from rolling. School officials here say things will remain peaceful if the parents stay uninvolved and allow the children and teachers to resolve any problems that develop. Bob Jamison, NBC News, Denver.
Washington, a White House spokesman said today that President Ford may put off until next week his decision on how much leniency to give Vietnam War deserters and draft evaders. The spokesman said that this week Mr. Ford is concentrating on the economy. Mayor Richard Daley of Chicago went back to his office in City Hall today for the first time in almost 4 months. Daley, who is 72, suffered a mild stroke last May and underwent surgery in June to prevent a recurrence. Rebecca Bell reports on his return today.
The last time the people of Chicago saw Mayor Daley was in June when he left the hospital. He then spent 3 months recuperating in seclusion and, according to his staff, running the city by telephone.
Today, Mayor Daley came back to City Hall and called a news conference at which he thanked people for their prayers, but left unanswered the question of whether he will run again.
The doctor said to me that I should try to work on not as hard as I did in the past, and then try to ascertain how that schedule will fit in with anything you're doing as far as the city of Chicago is concerned. I've never made that decision on the question, and won't until a little later on when
if
I have a chance to.
Today, Mr. Mayor, you would run, wouldn't you?
I think you answered it.
The mayor, who formerly worked as much as 15 hours a day, left City Hall at noon today. His staff says he'll be back tomorrow morning. Rebecca Bell, NBC News, Chicago.
Mayor Kenneth Gibson of Newark, New Jersey, today ordered a ban on street demonstrations after two nights of disturbances involving Puerto Rican residents and police. Newark was quiet today. There were reports of firebombings, but they turned out to be false alarms. Hurricane Carmen moved into the Gulf of Mexico today after striking the Yucatan Peninsula last night. The storm caused at least one death, left hundreds of people homeless, and did more than $8 million damage. It has now lost most of its strength, but weathermen expect it to build up again in the Gulf. They don't know where it will go from there. There's a report today that Jose Suno, the 83-year-old father-in-law of Mexico's President Echeverria, is still alive. It comes from people claiming to be his kidnappers. A federal judge in Washington today ordered a permanent halt to the manufacture and sale of this household trouble light. It's made by the AK Electronics Company of Brooklyn, New York. Judge George Hart called it the most dangerous product he's ever seen because of the shock hazard. But he said the manufacturers won't have to buy advertising to warn people about it because the news media have already done that. We ran a story on this last week.
You're almost ready for the party. But first, you got to get rid of those bugs before your guests arrive. With Yard Guard. Raid Yard Guard. the outdoor insect fogger that kills bugs up to 20 feet away. Its powerful bug-killing fog penetrates the foliage. YardGuard kills bugs now, keeps them away for hours. Jungle-tested YardGuard.
Poker game last night, favor this morning.
Give your furniture favor. It deep cleans the wood as it shines.
Children around the house, favor all the time.
Give your furniture favor. It deep cleans the wood as it shines.
Favors for families who really use their furniture. Smears and smudges people put on, favor takes off fast.
Favor deep cleans the wood as it shines.
The Gallup poll this week published the results of a nationwide survey taken last month on whether or not Richard Nixon should be prosecuted for possible criminal acts arising from Watergate. A slight majority of the people polled, 56%, say Nixon should be tried. 37% were against that, and 7% had no opinion. This survey and the fact that John Dean went to prison today brings us to David Brinkley's journal. David?
John Dean looks like the kind of nice, neat, well-mannered young man, a lawyer with good financial prospects. A lot of mothers have hoped their daughters would marry. Now he is only one more on a growing list of human tragedies the Nixon scandals left behind. One more disbarred lawyer going into a federal prison. He got a light sentence because over the past year, when Washington was covered under a heavy layer of smog of lies, he told the truth. But locking him up does nothing to answer the question that still agonizes Washington, what to do about Richard Nixon. It agonizes Nixon, too. With a Gallup poll now showing some change in public opinion and a small majority now believing he should be prosecuted, the first move, if it is made, is up to the grand jury and the special prosecutor, Leon Jaworski. So far, he has been absolutely careful to say absolutely nothing. If the first move is made and the grand jury votes to indict him, as it tried to once while he was still president, then there would be nothing to do but put him on trial. President Ford could pardon him before the trial, but politically he might find that hard to defend. The trials of Haldeman, Mitchell, and the others will soon begin here in Washington, and Nixon has been called to court as a witness. And it would be a very strange scene if, when the trial ended, they rode away to prison in a police car and he rode back to San Clemente in a government jet. John?
Thank you, David, and good night for NBC News.